As you came in tonight, I hope that if you didn't see it, that we had some handouts tonight. I usually do this on Wednesday morning. Matter of fact, I was talking to Leland. Leland said, I thought it was Wednesday. We do this a lot on Wednesday. If you do not have one of these, they're ready to hand one to you. I just think the information that we're going to share tonight is very specific and it's very helpful. So if you don't have one of these, you may not be a note taker. That's okay. But I think that sometimes the things that we learn in church, got a couple over here, guys. Just right over here. The things we learn in church, sometimes it becomes inspiration or maybe significant for the moment, but it leaves us as we leave that setting. So tonight, I just felt like it was a good idea that we would put some things on paper for you to have. You can put it in your Bible. You can carry it with you. If you have some notes that you take, if you journal, it'd be a good idea to hold on to that. Let me begin by asking you to, if you will, if somebody would just like to please stand and let us know about your latest temptation. We'd appreciate it. Oh, yeah, no, we're not going to do that. You know, if I could ask you to just stand and, hey, give us the last time that God really blessed you. We would have a few moments, but then somebody would stand, and, you know, anybody got a testimony? Yeah, but, you know, temptation, the very nature of the reservation that you just experienced when I said that, even though you probably knew I was jesting, you know, can you imagine standing and sharing the latest temptation you had? You know why? Because the majority of the latest temptations we've had, we did not conquer them. The reason they stand out in our mind is because it wasn't victory, it was defeat. So like we say up here, victory over temptation, is that possible? Absolutely. Unfortunately, Satan wants to let you know that you're done. You have no power. You're not going to be able to resist all of these things. And there's a million examples out there. But tonight, we need to remind ourselves of how powerful God is instead of how strong temptation is. We need to remind ourselves that unlike gravity that always pulls us down, you know what? We have proven, whether it's through, you know, jet propulsion or whether it's through the rapture, we're not going to be here forever. You know, we will break these bonds of heaviness. So tonight, let's get from the get-go, from the very start, let's just reverse our thinking. You know, there can be victory over sin. If we don't, then this is just rhetoric and it's a wasteless excuse for just coming to church tonight. Because we're going to talk about what God says about it, what God's Word says about it, and not our experiences. Nobody loves to glory in the fact that we've been overcome by temptation, but we don't want to live that life constantly, do we? Of course we don't. Now, I just have to believe deep within the soul of every alcoholic is someone screaming, I want to be alcoholic free. I want to be chemical free. I want to be away from all of these things. If somebody is just bound by tobacco, I want to never touch another cigarette in all my life. If somebody has weight problems, I know there's something screaming in there going, I hate what I see in the mirror. And I want to just say no to these things that keep adding to my health problems. On and on and on. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, it's not on your page, but I want to read this to you. Paul writes to the Corinthians, Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud. They all passed through the sea. It's a reference to the Red Sea. A reference to what led them to their, there was this cloud that led the Israelites, remember? All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and they all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased. Well, this turns a corner here real quick. For their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Verse 7 says this, Do not become idolaters, who were some of them. As it was written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Verse 8 says, Let us not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day 23,000 fell. Verse 9, Nor let us tempt Christ. As some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Verse 10, nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. And then he gets into the issue that we want to talk about tonight. Now all these things happened to them as examples. And they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. One of the first steps toward temptation is thinking, I got this. I got this. Well, if you've ever fallen in temptation, it usually started with, no problem, I got this. You know, I've heard all my life and experienced it a couple of times on a motorcycle myself, you know, you get to the point where you think you can control that thing because you're so good at whatever, and sooner or later it'll prove to you that it's more powerful than you are, even though you're in control. You do the same thing with a car, your personal skills, the way you approach life. He goes on to say this, therefore let him who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overcome you except such is as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Listen, our goal tonight, our purpose is becoming free from the power of sin, and we get to sin usually through the realm of temptation. So we want to talk about that. And I'll say it up here, and if, whether it's been your experience or not, it's still the truth. We can have victory over temptation. Our track record is not pure. It's not clean. Not every one of us is blameless in that area. But that doesn't mean we can't overcome. We've got to look at what God says. So let's look at the difference between trials and temptations. They often get confused. Right there in your piece of paper, it says this. A trial is sent by God. Now, it may be a little bit of confusion there, but just go on. A trial is sent by God, or it's allowed by God. God's not always the instigator of things that come into your life. They're called trials. In order to deepen your walk with Him or to bring about God's plan for your life, God will take you through trials so that He can take you somewhere in the spiritual realm that you would not go if it wasn't for those trials. It is the tough stuff that makes us better, harder, more proficient. It is not the ease of life. We said it today, pleasure and convenience are very poor teachers. But it's the things that come against us, trials. Sometimes God literally taking us through it. Read the Bible time and time again. God took men and women of the Bible through things that they would have never signed up for. But the reason for that is because of the outcome, not because He wanted to punish them or set them back or do anything like that. I've heard people say, listen, God will never give you more than you bear. Oh, yes, He will. He absolutely will. You know why? Because if it comes more than you can bear, God says, that's at the very point I wanted you to lean on me. I was waiting for you to lean on me. I was waiting for you to call out to me. I was waiting for you to depend on me. Your walk in and of itself, you know, you can only get so far. And you know what? In the spiritual realm especially, our limitations really don't give us anything. The personal integrity you have in your own muster and your own determination, your own desire to be a spiritual person will only take you so far. And if you want to live under that umbrella, if you want to live under that bar, that's fine, but it's pretty low. God says, I've got greater things, and a trial will get you there. The next thing it says is that a temptation is never directed by God. Never directed by God. But rather, its purpose is destructive. A temptation wants to leave you in a realm of destruction. Temptation is not sin itself. Remember, Jesus was tempted, and Jesus was sinless. So we know that the temptation is not the sin. Now, I just want to give you as a plus. Temptation may make us stronger if we successfully overcome it. You know why? Because it's something that we learn. If you experience overcoming a temptation, then there's the possibility you can do that again. If you have a weight problem or you want to do whatever, you know, it's just that starting. Where are you going to start? What's the date? What's the time? What meal are you going to mix? Or what are you going to adjust in your life? It's that start. Getting started is so difficult. But if you do that, guess what? It's a small victory. It leads the right path and opens the door for another victory. We forget that overcoming temptation and overcoming sin always leads to a greater path of overcoming more. We talked this morning about transformed lives that grow in Christ. That's part of the growth process, is that we learn as we go, and God says, I want you to learn more. I want you to be even greater. You know, we love that verse of Scripture that says, you know what, God, if He sees you faithful in the little things, He will cause you to be faithful in the big things. He'll reward you in the big things. You know, it starts as little bitty things, and that's what we've got to do, and that's where we start. So let me give you four facts about temptation. Everybody knows this, but we need to just be reminded, write it down, put it away somewhere. Number one, it is inevitable. It is going to happen. We are not immune to this. I think it was Spurgeon, I believe, that said, you know what? I can't prevent birds from flying over my head, but I can prevent them from building a nest in my hair. He was talking about temptation. Temptations are always going to become, we're always going to be hit by that. You know, God will give you you know, a way out of all those things, as he just talked about it a little while ago, and we'll talk about that a little bit further. But some people, we're defeated the minute we have a temptation because we have this evil thought and we think, I'm an evil person. Well, Satan's got you there and he's lied to you. We're not evil because we have that thought. Yeah, we're in an evil world. We're in a situation where we're always constantly be encroached by temptation. Luke 17 says this, then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone was hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, and that he should be offend one of these little ones. We are going to face temptations. That's all there is to it. The second thing, it is never directed by God. It's easy to go to the least common denominator, and that is God is the creator. God knows everything. God knows what's going on. God knew I was going to be here today. God knew this was going to happen. Why did God allow this and allow that? And it's real easy to go there because he's usually the scapegoat for that moment. But we need to be reminded it's inevitable because Satan is alive and well, and he's doing everything he can to bring the sons of God down to earth so that he can destroy them. Remember, it's all about destruction. James 1:13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. The third thing is it's an individual matter. It's an individual matter. The reason for that is that, you know, you can be in a group and there can be a general temptation. But the reason that it is individual is because you have to decide what your role of participation is going to be in that temptation. Doesn't matter if you have peer pressure. Doesn't matter if a group wants to gossip about somebody and you just jump right in there. You as an individual decided to participate in being with that. James 1:4 says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Nothing plural about that. Each one, each individual. The fourth thing is that it will always follow the same pattern. You know, Satan doesn't have to come up with new creative ideas. You know why? His original idea works. He doesn't have to come up with anything brand new. Why reinvent the wheel? The wheel's working. And we need to wake up to that because we can see this pattern and understand here it goes again. But when that pattern starts unfolding in your life, you know, the thought process should never be, oh no, here it comes again. I know how this is going to end. I'm going to fold. I'm not going to be able to overcome this. No, we're talking about victory. Victory means that you won. Okay? This isn't about defeated by temptation. This is about victory over temptation. Keep that in mind. A thought enters our mind. We pamper that thought. We cushion it. We coddle it. We play with it. We see how cute it is. And then it takes root. Now it's a part of us. It's kind of become of our thought process. The next thing is it grows into this evil act in our head, and now usually an evil act with our lives and our bodies. You know, it's real simple. Whether it's gossip, whether it's sexual temptation, whether it's stealing or whatever, it just that little thing, and it just gets in there and starts small because all it needs is a foothold. All it needs is a little access, and all it's got, what is it? It'll do that because that is the pattern of attack that the devil uses. I got a different version that I put in your outline. It says this, but each one is tempted when? By his own evil desire. Do you have an evil desire? We do. We have this part of us that's flesh versus spirit. That doesn't mean you're horrible. It just means this is who we are until we are sanctified by Christ in heaven. We are going to deal with all of these fleshly temptations. And he is dragged away and enticed. Don't you like that word, dragged away? You know, it's not somebody else coming getting you. Hey, you know, we're going to do this. Come on, go over here. Or you know what? One of the greatest things that's ever caught me is this. I'll do it if you'll do it. Oh, man. Whenever you hear that, run. I mean, it is not good. I mean, you know, now you got the buddy system. We're going to get in trouble. We're going to go down, but we're going to be together. I don't know what's exciting about that. It's crazy, you know. Dragged away and enticed. Listen, no one has grabbed you by the collar. It's this evil desire. This is what has grabbed you. It says, after the desire has conceived, in other words, after it has brought birth in your life, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. The one thing that Satan always hides behind the bait is the death issue, is that this thing is going to lead to no good. You're going to kill a conversation. You're going to kill a relationship. You're going to die something. Something's going to die here. And you need to understand that that's what this whole goal is, because Satan originated this. He doesn't like you. He wants you to go down. So let's talk about the truths of this passage for a second. Our temptations are not unique. They're so common. Everybody has these. We understand that. There is a way to stand up and overcome temptation. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that? Now listen, I know the conflict is that every one of us have not been 100% successful in this area. You've tried to bite your tongue, and sometimes you're successful. And if it's a real big temptation, if it's something that really gets you, most of the time you're not. Whether it's something we do, we have a sexual problem, and you know we find ourselves gravitating to things on the internet, or the things that we view, or the things that we read. And whether you just have a problem of keeping your hands on your property versus somebody else's property. On and on and on, the excuses and the examples could go. But here's the thing that we understand. We can overcome this. If you don't believe that, we can't start anywhere. We can't start anywhere. I remember I was at Evangel College, and we were not known for winning ball games. We were not known for winning ball games, even close to winning ball games. And we were fixing to play Langston University. Have you ever seen Langston? I'm telling you, I'll say this, and it's not a racist comment, but I've never seen bigger black men in all my life. They came to our school, Evangel College. We had to play on a high school campus. And when they walked on the field tilted. I'm telling you, they were just huge. They looked like trees. I remember the Thursday before that, Andre Crouch, who was the basketball coach, but he also taught a class called Psychology of Sports, and I was in this class. You know what? It's not Andre Crouch, was it? Andre Curtis. His name was Curtis. Just, you know, he did not write that song or sing it. I'm sorry. It was Andre Curtis. Okay. Thank you for correcting the record there, as I often need to. But anyway, he asked in this class Thursday. I'm out of nowhere. He asked me, because we were talking about sports psychology, and he asked me. He said, Dave. He said, do you think you can win the game Saturday? And I immediately said, absolutely. And I mean, we had no record to stand on. There was, good grief, for crying out loud, we had nothing to brag on it whatsoever. And he said, why do you believe that? And I said, well, Coach, I said, it's very simple. I said, why would I go on the field if I didn't think we could win? If I didn't think we could win. I mean, and that we most of the time, there was just no support for that comment, but I wasn't going to step onto the field unless there was a possibility. I'm going to at least get into the game. The outcome, I can't determine. I can only do is make decisions for myself. This is what it comes when the temptation, okay? Doesn't matter if you listen to Andre Crouch or Andre Curtis. You just need to get in there and understand this is a possibility. Instead of being defeated before you begin. The last thing is God knows your limits. Listen, I know God knows your limits. He's not going to put you in a situation to where he won't provide an escape. We understand that, okay? But are you looking for the escape, much less the strength to overcome this temptation? He is not unaware. When temptation comes, just like when darkness is there and light comes, it gets rid of the darkness. When temptation comes, it doesn't get rid of God. We think God takes a vacation, or where is God in all this? That's why we do the blame game with God. God, where were you? Why didn't you do this? Why did you let this person come into my life? Yeah, well, God was always there, but Satan has a great way of trying to make you think that he's gone. So let's look at those last seven things right there. How can we overcome temptation? Listen, first of all, is this: looking for a way to avoid the temptation. We constantly need to be looking for a way to avoid the temptation. Here's the problem. Most of us look at the temptation instead of the way out. We're so focused on the threat. We're so focused on the temptation. We're so focused on how this went last time that we don't see the way out that God shows us, because there always is a way out. There's a way to flee this thing, to avoid this thing. Remember Joseph? He was in there with Potiphar's wife, and she just thought he was a handsome young man, and she just thought she would entice him to commit adultery with her. And what did Joseph do? He fled. He left. What was his comment? He said, God forbid that I do this to my God. He didn't say, God forbid I do this to Potiphar. He didn't say, I can't let my master down. He said, I God forbid I would do this to God. He had this purpose with him, and he took off. Sometimes you got to flee the situation. You know what flee means? Run. It means move your feet, get going. All right? Now, let me remind you of another great singer, Kenny Rogers. Remember, he said, you got to know when to hold them, know when to follow them. Everybody! No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. But in that song, he was saying, hey, you know, there's a time you stay in the game, there's a time you get out, even though I don't like gambling. It's just a great, you know, little comment there. But the Bible tells us there's a time to flee. The Bible says, flee youthful lust. And I don't care if youthful means 12 to 18. I mean, youthful can be anything in your life. It's amazing to me the things that still tempt people my age, that they are giving up marriages, they are giving up relationships, they're giving up life to things that we thought was associated with just you. You don't ever grow out of those things. Not in your mind. Not in your mind. It says to flee youthful lust. You know what it means? That if you're having a youthful flesh moment, you know what? The Bible says, don't resist it. Don't get in. Just turn around and book this way. Just leave town. Go away. I never forget that Gary and Kyla told me the time that Caleb went to a party with his basketball team, I believe it was, and they got a call. Said, Mom, you need to come get me. This party was going the wrong direction. I think alcohol may have been introduced or whatever, and he just knew it wasn't for him. And you know, can you imagine how cool that was? I mean, that's just awesome. He said, hey, I can't handle this. I got to get out of here. This isn't the right place for me. So you know what? He fled. However, the Bible also tells us there's certain times that, you know what? It says to resist the devil, and guess who leaves this time? And he will flee. There's a time to stand and say, Satan, I am not putting up with this. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, get out of here. I reject this thought. I am not going to participate in your little game tonight. And he has to flee because the power of God will come in and take care of him. There's other times when this is not the time to fight. This is not the hill to die on. You go. You move. And that's why we have to do this. We have to understand that. The second thing is this. Submit your thoughts to God. You know, the problem is, our submitting our thoughts to God are usually after the fact when we're submitting our thoughts to God kind of like this. God, I am so sorry. God, I am here again. I can't believe I have come to this place again. I fail again. All that reinforces it that we're setting up another failure. Instead, we got to get ahead of that. I used to tell teenagers when I was in youth ministry, I said, listen, after the date, after the movie, when you're in some dark, secluded place, is not the time to say, I am not going to be submitting myself to youthful circumstances that would lead to inappropriate activity here. That's a big way of saying, I ain't making out with this jerk. That's not the time. You had to make that decision before you go out on the date, not when the circumstances arise, because it's too overcoming. We should take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I love this verse of Scripture. Write it down. 2 Corinthians 10:5. 2 Corinthians 10:5. It says, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Every thought that I have, if it doesn't line up with the obedience of Christ, if the thought that I have can't be called something that is obedient to Christ, that Christ would approve, that Christ would applaud, that Christ would say, hey, with all of my energy, I encourage you to do that, then you know what? We take that thought captive and we make it surrender to the obedience of Christ. That's what we have to do. Most of our thoughts could be categorized as captivating us instead of us captivating them. They literally surround us and we feel attached. I need to watch what my mind is dwelling on. So you know what? When you find yourself lonely, when you find yourself bored, when you find yourself isolated, when nothing's really coming, nothing good is coming out of those things, that's when you got to start thinking about what your mind is. My mom and dad used to always say, nothing good happens after midnight. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of not good things happens way before then. You know, it's not about the clock, sister. It's about when my mind just gets out there on its own and starts getting enticed by these things. The third thing is this, submit your will to God. We love to ask God, what is your will? We already know that. The very nature of temptation says, this is not God's will. This is not what he does not want me to talk about her that way. He does not want me to write this number down on my tax returns because it's wrong. It's not the right number. He doesn't want me to do this. He doesn't want me to do that. We know God's will. Now we've got to submit our will to that because most sin is grounded in this, selfishness. Selfishness. Almost every temptation, I would say every temptation, always has this root common denominator called, what's in it for me? This temptation was designed to entice you for what you can do to literally ignore the fact of what God wants you to do. This verse of Scripture in Colossians 3:2 says this, set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. You ever notice that you're never really tempted by the things you hate? I am never tempted to eat broccoli. I am never tempted to eat cauliflower, not even on the Daniel fast. I'm telling you what, and that's pretty extreme, okay? But I'm going to tell you what, now that the Daniel fast is over, oh, praise the Lord for French silk pie. And I could go on and on and on. Those are the things that we're tempted with, okay? Number four, we have to expect temptation to come. So we have to stay ready for it. The Bible says when you are tempted, not if or possibly, it's when. Guess what? Before you go to bed tonight, you're going to be tempted. Whether it's just a brief thought or whether it's something that, you know, kind of draws your attention, or sometimes we just wake up and go, how did I get here? You just find yourself in this situation. Have you ever done this? Bought a ticket to a movie you thought was going to be a good movie. You get into that movie. Next thing you know, words start showing up that don't line up with your Christian faith. Things start popping up on the screen that, even though they're only suggested, maybe you don't see everything, but they're still... You ever had the integrity to stand up and walk out? You see, that's what temptation does. You're in there for all the right reasons. Hey, this is in there. It's only rated R because of the violence. Whatever. It got you in there, and now it goes bad, but now it's got you in there. And believe it or not, the peer pressure of other people in that studio, especially if you went with a group of friends, who's going to be the first one to say, guys, we need to leave? Who's going to be the first one in a circle that's, you know, started as a prayer group, but now it's turned into a wonderful gossip chain instead of a prayer chain? Who's going to be the first one that steps up and says, hey, you know what? This started out as a prayer request, but now we're talking about people. We need to go about face and stop this and really do the right thing. It's tough. Possible, I understand, but we got to do that. Number five, remind yourself of the consequences of sin. Sometimes we forget this until well after the fact, but the Bible says in Galatians 6:7, what a man sows, he also reaps. We can blame Satan for the temptation. We can wonder where God was all along, but personally, we're going to be held responsible, personally responsible for the steps we took to participate in the outcome of this temptation. What we sow, we reap. You know, Satan has a great job of just setting the scene, and it was overwhelming, and we couldn't help ourselves, and all kinds of things. We understand that. And you know what? It's a legitimate feeling, because that's what your flesh really feels. But your spirit's saying, and you walked right into it. You did. You walked right into it. Jesus said this. God said, go there. You know, the Holy Spirit said, turn around. And you didn't. You know what? What you sow, you reap. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was an old-time pastor, and he said this: in our members, there is a slumbering inclination toward desire, which is both sudden and fierce. Satan does not fill us with a hatred of God, but rather with a forgetfulness of God. When we go down the road of temptation, what Satan wants to do is so entice you that you have not turned your back on God. You see, on our way to fulfill a temptation, we don't say, God, listen, I know, you know, but hey, forget it. Just back off. I'm going here. We don't do that. What we do is we forget the element that God is there. Oh, there's always a part of us that goes, I know I'm going to regret this. But you see, we forget God's role in this thing. And I think what he said is beautiful. It's a great reminder. Number six is to memorize the word. You know, it's easy to go into a situation and say, I'm going to bite my tongue. I don't care what happens. I am not going to get angry. Whatever, whatever, whatever. And you could multiply that by millions of situations, that attitude. And it's a great attitude. Hey, I'm determined this is going to be a great day. Nothing's going to make me mad. I'm going to be victorious over this. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I understand that. But the problem is that there's something more powerful we need to use in most of those circumstances called the Word of God. That's why I wanted you to write down the verse of Scripture in Corinthians 10. Where it says we need to keep every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. It's a great picture that we need to have. You know, this is wonderful things. Remember, we mentioned this morning, Psalms 119, the Bible says, your word I've hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against you, so that the word comes back to you. You know, when you're younger, you know, your parents are such an authority that, you know, you fear for what they would do if you get caught in thing. It's a great deterrent. But you know, you get old enough, you get bold enough, you get courageous enough, you learn to get around those parental figures. You learn how to lie to the teacher. You learn to how to go around a lot of things in life. But guess what? There's always this authority out there called God. And you know, just like he is always out there, and you'll never outlive or go around his authority, he's also there to assist you and to love you and to help you overcome temptation. And the most powerful way he will do that is with the Word of God. You see, there's one thing that Satan hates. Not your word, but his word. Your words are empty. He's not going to back off because you said, not today, Satan. You think he's scared one bit? He's just going to let you back off a little bit, and then he's going to pile in on you. I'm telling you what, I have met with youth pastors all of my life that I've been in youth ministry, and I'm telling you what, there's this common thread with every youth pastor. We've said this constantly. You know, after a great spiritual victory, after a great camp season, after a great Wednesday night service, after a fabulous Sunday night service, fantastic things hit on the altar, immediately after that, it seems like out of nowhere, temptation comes. You go home, you just want to jail, you've been a long day, you turn on the TV, next thing you know, your thoughts go down the wrong path because of what's on TV. Oh, it's amazing how this happened. Satan knows exactly what he's doing, but right then, it's when our Word of God needs to come to our mouth. D.L. Moody said this, sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. This book, the Bible, will keep you from sin, or sin will separate you from that Bible. You ever notice the correlation there? The more you read the Word, the more victorious you are, the more stronger you are, the more inclined you are to follow God. But the less you read your Word, the more you neglect your devotional life, the less you pray, the more open you are to temptation. It's a simple, simple illustration. The last thing is this. Practice the presence of God. Because here's the thing. We act differently when we are aware that we are not alone. We act differently when we are aware and we are not alone. Listen, I know nobody really wants to talk specifics. I asked you, you know, hey, would you kind of share with me your latest temptation? I don't think so. That's a little challenging for anybody or a pastor to say that. But I'm going to tell you what. It's amazing what happens when you're alone, whether you're in your car, whether you're by yourself, or you're at your desk, you're at your computer watching TV. When another person comes into that room, it changes the whole atmosphere, doesn't it? It changes everything. There's things that we would do alone that we would never do in front of those people. I mean, whether they're sinful or not. Our lives just change by the presence of one person acted to our life. Here's the sad thing. We have so downgraded the presence of God that he's just there, but we kind of ignore him. Remember what he said a minute ago? It's not that we have rejected God. It's that we've forgotten that he's there. We need to practice the presence of the Lord. That everywhere we go, we know and understand that he is actually there. I love the moment that I used to be so naive that I didn't know anything. And I can remember literally going out praying one night with a bunch of guys. And I've told this story before. We got praying so earnestly that in my mind, I thought we would see angels. If I opened my eyes, I literally would see angels. That's how heavenly it felt like the things that we were praying. You know, of course, you know, afterwards, I opened my eyes. There were no angels there. On the way home, I thought, in my mind, it was so strong in my mind, I thought, my goodness, what if Jesus was sitting right next to me in my 1961 Saab? First thing he would say was, clean this thing up, son. But what if I felt it so strongly that literally in my imagination, I thought he was there. I mean, I could just see it, sense it. I knew he wasn't physically, but man, I was afraid to look. We have to practice that every day. Not because we're fearful. Not so that God can help us and make us not be able to do bad things. Because you see, I don't want to be obedient because I have an accountability partner. I want to be obedient because I chose to. Because God was there for me. And God showed me the way out. And God allowed me to understand my will for you is more powerful than anything Satan can offer you. Choose me. Choose me. We often forget that as we strive through life, that it was God who chose us. The Bible says that he first loved me. We have always been his choice. He's not waiting for us to do the right thing to choose us. He's already chosen. Now it's our turn to choose him. Amen? You bow your heads with me. My head is bowed. I hope everyone else's is. I hope in conjunction with that, that means that your eyes are closed. But I'm going to ask for a response, one that I will not look to see whether it's done or not. But if there is a temptation or if there is a circumstance that you have find yourself constantly failing, there's no other word for it, failing. God has not failed, you have. And I don't say that to condemn you or to put you down, but that's the truth of the matter. And today, through this message, through these instructions that God has, through the awareness of what temptation, and the reality that we can overcome temptation, if you want to overcome that temptation, and you desperately need God to help you, I'm going to ask you to just raise your hand and put it right back down. I'll have no idea if you did that or not. But isn't it about time that we got tired, sick and tired, of being drug around by the things that we're enticed by? Isn't it about time we got sick and tired of finding ourselves doing that up and down, in and out circumstance where we're on this spiritual roller coaster and we find ourselves back at the bottom of the hill because, once again, we have lost the presence of God. We have failed to follow His Word. We have failed to interject His Word into our lives. Aren't you sick and tired of not being victorious? Aren't you tired of being the one defeated? If that's you, I pray that you raise your hand and put it right back down. Father, I pray for this wonderful group of people before I leave. Lord, great promise resides in all of us. But Lord, Satan is our enemy. That's no secret to us. It's no secret to you. And today, Father, we call upon you. We ask you to take your word, these words. These are not just man's words as they line up with Scripture. And we pray, oh God, that even though we know the formula and we know His pattern, we see Him coming, Lord, help us not anticipate a failure, but instead help us to celebrate a victory. Lord, it's about time that we started seeing ourselves overcoming this instead of being overcome by this. Bless us as we leave here tonight, Lord God. We're not perfect, Lord, but with your help, we will strive toward perfection. We're going to win. Why play if we're not going to win? Why be a Christian if we're not going to be victorious? Give us that determination. In Jesus' name, amen.